What's happening locally? The news.
And indeed, it is that time of the week for us to take our midweek look at some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The presiding judge of the Tribunal Electoral, Alfredo Junca, considers that José Raúl Molino cannot be the candidate for president of the Realizing Goals, the RM, and Alianza parties, for three reasons. Junca supported four of the 5 points that the Tribunal Electoral approved in the 11-1 agreement of last March the 4th, in which Ricardo Martinelli was disqualified from competing as a presidential candidate and deputy for the 8-4 circuit in the elections on the 5th of May, after the Supreme Court of Justice ratified his conviction for money laundering in the new business case. The magistrate did not agree with point two of the argument, where it was ordered that Molino appear on the ballot for the position of President of the Republic as a candidate for President of the RM and Alianza parties, without Vice President. This was stated by Junca when casting a reasoned vote when the Tribunal Electoral Plenary Session ruled to reject an appeal that lawyer Alejandro Perez presented against the 11-1 agreement that disqualified Martinelli. In this way, the President of the Tribunal Electoral made clear his opposition to Molino's candidacy, contrary to what Judge Eduardo Vargas Escoffery said this weekend to Telemetro reporter, quote, "Everyone already knows the position of at TE Panama. We consider that he, Molino, is a substitute for the presidential candidate. Therefore, he was the one who had the right to go up upon disqualification of Ricardo Martinelli. It's my duty as a Panamanian lawyer and presiding magistrate of this institution to state that in relation to point two, specifically, I ratify my initial position that was described in Thesis A within Agreement 11-1 of March the 4th of this year," he maintained. Thesis A is based on three reasons why Molino should not compete in the elections for President of the Republic. One of those reasons is that the figure of the substitute is not applicable to that of the Vice President. This in light of Article 362 of the Electoral Code, which establishes the following, quote, "If a citizen declared suitable as a candidate loses the status of candidate, its substitute will take place in the main candidate or of the main candidate." On the other hand, Thesis B, supported by Judges Eduardo Valdez Discovery and Luis Guerrero Morales, says that Article 362 does not apply to all charges. However, this statement does not have the specific legal support in either the Electoral Code or the Constitution. 1. The figure of the substitute is not applicable to that of the Vice President. Thesis A is based on the fact that unlike the payrolls of mayor, deputy and township representative who have a substitute on the payroll, it is not possible to apply the solution proposed in Article 362 of the Electoral Code to a presidential payroll because, according to the theory of Thesis A, unlike the substitute, the vice presidency is a position with functions and powers recognized in Article 185 of the Political Constitution. 2. The payroll must be complete. On this occasion, Article 177 of the Constitution is cited, which provides that the President of the Republic will be elected by direct popular suffrage and by the majority of votes for a period of 5 years. But it also orders that with the President of the Republic, a Vice President will be elected in the same manner and for the same period, who will replace him in his absence, in accordance with the provisions of this Constitution, unquote. The absence of one of the two would cause the incomplete payroll to generate a breach of the constitutional mandate of Article 177, maintains Thesis A, supported by Junca. The demand. The lawyer Carisma Etienne Karamanitis sued before the Supreme Court of Justice point two of the plenary agreement of 11-1, of the Tribunal Electoral of the 4th of March, alleging, among others, that the candidacy was not put to a vote in the primary elections of RM. The rapporteur of the case is Judge Elmedo Arrocha. And on April the 19th, he concluded the deadline for interested parties to present their arguments on the viability or not of the lawsuit. The court received at least 60 opinions. The plenary session of the Electoral Tribunal made the decision to suspend the process of early voting online. This was after it was reported that the numerical order of the candidates appeared altered on the electronic ballot. The measure includes nullifying the votes cast on this first date of early voting abroad and is due to the fact that the ballot presents that different order than that of the presidential candidates on the physical ballot. Likewise, they announced the beginning of investigations to determine what could have caused said error, and the event has generated various reactions on social networks. Vivian de Torrijos, wife of the presidential candidate for the Popular Party, Martín Torrijos, explained feeling insecurity with the Electoral Court. The plenary session of the National Assembly on Tuesday rejected the minutes of April the 16th that sought to give life to Bill 1138, which sought to create the district of Bastimentos and three new townships in Bocas del Toro, an initiative promoted by Benicio Robinson, president of the Democratic Revolutionary Party, the PRD. It is notable that in addition to the opposition deputies, there were also members of the ruling PRD bench who voted against or abstained during the assembly session. Some of them are even part of the powerful National Executive Committee of the highest body of the PRD. Two of the PRD deputies who voted against were Crispiano Adames and Alfredo Castillero. Among those who abstained are Ricardo Torres Leandro Avila and Melchor Herrera. Crispiano Adames, first vice president of the PRD, indicated, for example, that this proposed law is not convenient or legal, and that the Assembly cannot issue laws against the Constitution of the Republic. In fact, on June the 1st of 2022, the President of the Republic himself, Laurentino Cortizo, vetoed a similar proposal, arguing, among other points, that the proposed district would not have the population required to be established. It is clear that in its legislative process, the requirements established by law were not met, Cortizo argued in a letter sent at that time to Adames when he presided over the Assembly. Another of the pro-government deputies who spoke out on the issue was Ricardo Torres, fourth Under-Secretary of the PRD, and in his opinion it was not time to create more townships in the country. As for the opposition deputies, some, like Pedro Torres from the Panamanista Party, indicated that the National Assembly owes the country an apology and that the discussion should revolve around legal initiatives that seek the well-being of citizens. While Ana Hicel Rosas, deputy of Cambio Democratico, stressed that they must take advantage of these last days of the legislative period to clean up the image of the National Assembly. The Superior Court of Appeals of the First Judicial District confirmed the 50-year prison sentence imposed on Rosendo and Somelo Moses and Juan Carlos Valdez for the murder of the leader of the Democratic Revolutionary Party, the PRD, Wendy Rodriguez, shot to death on the 2nd of March in 2020 on the Southern Corridor. Through a resolution dated April the 18th and signed by Judges Fernando Alonso Valdez, Omiraro Jaramillo and Adrián Hernández, it was decided to confirm the first instance ruling issued on the 5th of October of last year, in which the defendants were found guilty of the crime of murder in the form of hitman, to the detriment of Rodriguez. In this case, the acquittal issued a favour of Juan Antonio Cerezo, Thomas Ramón and Eduardo Arias, for whom the prosecution had requested a conviction, was also confirmed. The Homicide and Femicide Prosecutor's Office appealed the first instance decision, pointing out the existence of evidence of the participation of the three in the persecution and subsequent murder of Rodriguez. Two minors who were travelling in Rodriguez's vehicle were also injured in the incident. However, the magistrates rejected the prosecution's request, stating that no reliable evidence was presented of their connection to the fact investigated. According to the prosecutor's investigation, the hitmen followed the victim in several vehicles and finally intercepted Rodriguez's vehicle at the exit of the Southern Corridor, where she was attacked with firearms. And right, time for an antidepressant. That amazing Guaiacan. stands majestically in the country's landscapes, not only as a treasure of biodiversity, but also as a symbol rooted in the history and culture of Panama. Scientifically known as Hand Roanthus guayacan, this tree has been the object of admiration thanks to the display of yellow, purple and different shades of pink flowers announcing the arrival of the rains. Adrian Jimenez, botanist from the Directorate of Protected Areas and Biodiversity of the Ministry of Environment, explained that guayacan flowers attract pollinators such as bees and hummingbirds, thus contributing to local biodiversity. The specialist explained that guayacan trees usually bloom synchronously with the, or just after, the first rains fall, approximately between the months of March and April. Although, due to climate change, it has been noted that the visual spectacle of these trees has been delayed on some occasions over the years. A few weeks ago, we began to see several trees blooming and also covering the ground after the petals fell. Since ancient times, indigenous communities have used guayacan wood for the construction of homes, boats and tools, taking advantage of its durability and resistance. In 2023, the guayacan tree was included in Appendix 2, a list of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora. Thus, the species is classified as threatened at the national level according to Resolution DM 067/57/2016 on threatened species in the country, placing it in the status of vulnerable. Distributed mainly in the forest near the Panama Canal, Camino de Cruces National Park and Soberana National Park, the guayacan is not only a natural treasure of Panama, but also a symbol of the deep connection between nature, history and culture of the country. As a way to preserve this tree, Jimenez invites Panamanians to acquire a guayacan in any nursery in the country and thus enjoy all the benefits it can bring to the local fauna or its shade when it has grown enough, not to mention the majesty of its colours when it blooms. Its preservation not only guarantees the biodiversity of Panamanian ecosystems, but also perpetuates its legacy as a national icon that will endure for future generations. And that's it. Quite a bit to get through this morning, but important seeing the election coming up. Anyway, that's it. Those are the pieces we put together for you for this morning's programme.